Welcome to Next Level Christianity, a podcast designed to teach Christians biblical truth, help apply it to their daily lives, and gain true clarity of what it means to follow Jesus. Our churches and Christian communities are being influenced by cultural and worldly views, and few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is John Alkire, along with my beautiful wife, Carrie Ann. Please join us as we have important conversations where biblical truth and life application collide. We hope these episodes help equip and motivate you to take your Christian faith to the next level. So grab your Bible and join us in the conversation. Welcome back to another episode of Next Level Christianity. I'm your host, John Alkire, and tonight, my lovely co-host, wife, Carrie Ann will not be joining us for this, so I will go on to this solo, episode 22 coming at you, and we're super excited to talk about a very important topic, which is going to be God's sovereign election. We're going to talk about God's chosen people and what the Bible has to say about that, but in the meantime, we just want to say, hope everybody's doing well. Crazy times, unprecedented times. We have another 30 days. It looks like President Trump has pushed social distancing for another 30 days, which means we're going to probably be on lockdown for that long. Kids are started online schools at home. Huge impact on our economy, huge impact on families financially. So we just, our hearts are with everybody out there. As we're all in this together, it's impacting everybody in some way, shape, or form. And we just pray for those who are being affected, the families. I know Carrie and I know firsthand, you know, what it's like to be impacted financially. We've gone through that in our years. And we've just seen so many people preparing with supplies and food. We're still out of content in the grocery stores. It just will never end, but it will end. We know that, but what we do know is we do know Jesus is on the throne and he is sovereign. Therefore, we believers can rest on the fact that he knows this virus. And I'm going to say this, it's going to sound hard to understand, but this virus is going to bring God glory. No ifs, ands, buts about it. This virus, this time, is going to glorify God. How, we don't always know. We don't always know the answers, but it will. I see it as just the outpouring and the spreading of the gospel that we're seeing all over social media by our churches and pastors from all levels. And I think God's going to bring a lot of new people to him through the gospel message that's being shared in such a great way. But God only knows what he is doing it for, and we're to be obedient to that and know it's going to glorify him, and we know it'll pass, and we know things will get back to normal. And we can believe that because our faith, Romans 8:28, and like Carrie says, what's a podcast without Romans 8:28? Which is, we know that God causes, and I want to underline that, all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And also back in Isaiah 45, 6, and 7, it says that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other, the one forming light and creating darkness. Causing, who causing? God causing well-being and God causing or creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all of these. I've seen some internet arguments about this. It just blows my mind. This is so clear from scripture. This is Isaiah. It's just, there's going to be more that's clear about his sovereignty and that he is in control of all things. And we're going to talk about some of that tonight. As hard as it may seem and eerie, God is in full control. And we are to trust him, and not just in the good times, but also bad times like these. You just have to trust him no matter what you're going through as believers. So As we move into this, I want to talk to our listeners. If you're one of our subscribed listeners, we want to thank you tonight for your support. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, we hope these episodes become edifying to you. You know, we're, as Carrie and I, we're no leaders in the world or authors or pastors or anything. We're just normal human beings, normal followers of Christ that wanted to bring a podcast like this to the airways of the world and impact really Christians. And our whole thrust of these is not only does it help us study and learn the scriptures and helps our faith, but by sharing it out to you, we hope it gets you into the Word, gets you into the Bible, and start studying it and learning what it has to say, because it is so much in there for us to learn and know who our God really is. And as we know by statistics, not many Christians read their Bibles. So we hope these episodes point you there. But I wanted to say, if you could, share the podcast to your friends, family, and coworkers. Times are a little slower. More time to listen on walks or in your house. So check us out. And also, if you could, if you're on iTunes, if you could just go down to the bottom, there's some stars. You can just rate us. That would be super cool. It helps promote the podcast out there. You know, we had a couple episodes. We did popped out a couple episodes here just recently. If you're having fear, put your trust in the Lord. Episode 20 and 21, we just did, which is talking about our purpose and how our purpose is not identified into worldly things or our own standards. It is simply about God, and our purpose on earth is to glorify God, and we talk about that in depth. So check out episode 21. Tonight, we are going to talk about a very important doctrine in the Bible. I'm going to confidently guess that a majority of our listeners here have not heard this taught in their churches, know much about it, or have even read about it. This will be very challenging to you as you hear from God's word in conversation. And I love how John MacArthur puts this. He describes it as the most pride-crushing doctrine. And we're going to walk through God's sovereign election. I just had a conversation with a friend, another Christian friend, who we share the same theology. I would tell you we're more Reformed theology people, but got in a very big debate over sovereignty and predestination and election, and with another Christian from another church, and it got heated. And this is very controversial, this subject. And I will say that the Bible in general is controversial, so it is what it is. But we're going to walk through the scriptures tonight, and we're going to show you where we believe that God's sovereign election is for real, and it is who his people are. They're chosen by him. Now, like most of you, Carrie and I had no clue about anything the Bible had to say about the elect, honestly, in years prior. Why? I think it was never preached at the churches we attended. We attended mostly modern churches and never heard anything talked about. I would say Romans chapter 9, 10, or 11 was ever preached, and anything about the elect was ever preached. No other Christians ever talked about it to us or with us that I can recall. And we never touched the topic in small groups, and our belief, God had not allowed our ears to hear it or our eyes to read it. And that's the truth. There's times in scriptures where we're just not mature enough. We're just not, in a place where God is going to let us hear and see it. And honestly, we read over the text and a lot of these verses and we just missed it. And I bet some of you out there are the same. So we hope to bring light to it. We must have passed over these scriptures 100 times without blinking an eye or stopping to dig deeper on the words used by our authors and Jesus himself as he spoke them. The deeper our relationship with God has developed over the years, the more thirst we have had for the word, the more deep studies that we have had, and including preparing for these podcast episodes, God has truly opened our eyes to see and our ears to hear the undisputed evidence to the truth of God's sovereign election. Our hope is as you listen to this, God opens up your hearts, your minds to this critical doctrine. We hope you will come back to this as time allows with your Bibles, with your spouse, your family, and walk through the scriptures we're going to talk about tonight. We are going to cover a ton of them regarding God's chosen people, and we will be posting them for reference, as always, on our social media pages, which are going to be found at both our Facebook page and our Instagram page, at Next Level Equip. You can find the biblical references to this. Now, as we begin working through the scriptures, you will hear many words we want to highlight tonight, okay? Elect, chosen, predestined, foreknew. The concept of God electing those who will be saved isn't that controversial. The problem among Christians is the process of how and in what manner God chooses those who will be saved. I know many will say, guys, the gospel was shared by a friend or a church. I liked it and I accepted it and now I'm saved. I chose to follow Christ. Me, I chose. I led my friend to know Christ. Words like that. We as humans have a ton of pride. We naturally draw to being in control of everything. And that includes our faith. However, the Bible tells us something completely different. Who ultimately controls salvation, God or man? The evidence is without question God. If you are truly saved, you should be so grateful because so many will not be. And Scripture will tell us many will find the gate, the small gate, very many will find the large gate, very few will find the small gate. Many will be called, but few are chosen, are biblical verses that we know. We have found by learning this truth, we are more grateful than ever. I will tell you my faith now, knowing what I know about the elect. I am so grateful. I have so much gratitude, more in pursuit of knowing him than ever before. Trying to live a holy life the best way I can, with intention, wanting to share the gospel and fully trust his ways for our life. It's one of those things, guys and gals, that when you think about what we're going to go through, man, God chose me. God gave me grace. Me. It's an incredible thing. And when you realize others aren't going to know him, no matter what gospel is preached, no matter what they know, they will not come to the Lord. And we truly believe and press into Romans 8:28. We just do. And why do we? And again, it's God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who have called to his purpose. But why is that? Because he chose us personally, specifically set us apart at birth before the world was even created, as it says in Scripture. Before creation, we were predestined to know him. Not everybody, unfortunately. There are people in our lives today, family members, friends, coworkers, that will not be chosen, no matter what we say or how we live our lives. Is God unfair? You read from Paul, who intimately talks to this very question in Romans chapter 9. No, he is not unfair. He is a God, and God is sovereign. And as it is written, and God told Moses, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy and compassion on who I will have compassion. It is not up to you and me. Therefore, we are so thankful he chose us, as I mentioned earlier, and chose us of our sinful ways to give us grace and the gift of life through him. our Jesus Christ. It has been such a different love and relationship knowing this. For example, both Moses and Pharaoh were both sinners. Correct? Is it fair to say they're both sinners? Murderers and were equally worthy of God's wrath. But what happened? God chose mercy on Moses and Pharaoh received God's judgment. God used Pharaoh as Paul writes in Romans 9, that he was raised up for the very purpose, so to demonstrate God's power through the plagues, while he thought he had his own free will of power over the people, we learn it was all orchestrated through God's choice. In Exodus, it is mentioned 10 times of God's hardening of Pharaoh's heart. A powerful depiction of God's choice and who he uses for his purpose to bring glory and power to his name. You can check that more out in Romans 9 and read more about that. I encourage you to read chapter Romans 9. I'll mention it more and more as we go through this episode. Before we hit the scriptures, we ask that you take some quiet time and get into the Bible. Not right now, but again, just all I ask is before I move on is get into the chapters I would ask that you read is Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. When you think you're in control, after you read those chapters, when you think you're in control of your faith or anything in this life as a Christian, or even those who are far away from God, not even the Christians, people that are far from him, you'll quickly discover we are not in control of anything. It will bring you to complete submission. Humility, as it is a pride-crushing doctrine, as MacArthur says. But man, does it change your relationship dramatically. Dramatically. According to Apostle Paul, all of humanity is one big sinful lump. We're all one big lump. All of us deserve what, according to Scripture, we all deserve punishment, being separated from God. So God chooses to have mercy on who he chooses to have mercy. We should be in awe that a holy and blameless God chooses you and I, or really chooses to save any of us. We should just be in awe and thankful. So here going forward, we're going to go over some scriptures. And I just want the Bible to speak, not me. I want the Bible and the scriptures to speak. And there's a lot of them. We're going to read through these. And we're going to talk about God's elect, his chosen people. And again, if you haven't been told about this doctrine, heard these preached at your church, or read them, we pray God opens your eyes and ears to these scriptures. So I want to open up by Psalm 65:4. Psalm 65:4. How blessed is the one whom you choose and bring near to you to dwell in your courts. And I underlined, is the one whom you choose. Matthew 11:27. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And I underlined, the Son wills to reveal him. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. This is what Jesus said after the parable of the wedding feast, which Carrie and I discussed that parable in depth in episode 19 that you can check out. For many are called, but few are chosen. Matthew 24:22. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. What he's talking about in this section is the Great Tribulation, and the redeemed people do not suffer more than they can bear, and the length of the time the beast will be permitted to terrorize the world is about 3.5 years, according to the scriptures. But he's using the word elect. You hear chosen through the first few choose, wills. The Son wills to reveal him, chosen, elect. Matthew 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. There's that elect word. Who's he talking about? Not the Israelites, not the Jews in the final ending. He's talking about those who will be drawn to him and put their faith in Christ. Matthew 24:31, he says, and he will send his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Here Jesus was talking about the second coming, ushering in the millennial reign of Christ. Who's he coming to gather? Who are the angels coming to gather? The elect. People that have been chosen. John 6:37-39, he says, all the Father gives me will come to me. Okay, let's slow down here. All the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. All the Father gives me will come to me. The Father giving to Christ who will be saved. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. John 6:44, this is a good one. No one can come to me unless, now this is strong now, listen to this. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, circle the word, draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. God draws the heart of man to Christ to put their faith in him. And that's proof from Jesus. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. This isn't our own choice here, ladies and gentlemen. John 10:14, and I'm going in order in case you didn't know this. I started in the Old Testament. I've grabbed as much of the scriptures as I can possibly research about this. There's a ton, and you'll see the list on the Facebook pages when you look at that, but tons of references. But we're starting from the Old Testament and working all the way to the end of the New Testament. So we're in order to help you. John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own knows me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, he's talking about the Gentiles, which are not of this fold, the Jews. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. As we know, the Jews and the Gentiles will come together as believers in the end of times. God will save Israel and the elect Jews, as is prophesied from the book of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, and Zechariah. And you can look into that on your own, but again, my own knows me, even as the Father knows me, as he says. John 10:28, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Once you've been chosen, he will never let you go. And in fact, he talks about how his Father, you got almost in a way, in a word picture, we've talked about this before, two hands. You've got Jesus is holding on to his people, and God is also holding on as well. He will never let us go. Here's John 15:16. Listen to his words. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Again, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would remain. Again, proof that it's not up to us. Salvation is in us. John 17, 1 and 2. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh. Listen closely. That to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Who? That to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. The Father gives over his chosen. John 17, 9. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours. Key sentence in John 17, 9. But of those whom you have given to me. John 17, 24 further goes, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Just again, more verbiage of this elect doctrine. Acts 13, 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Listen to that. Paul and Barnabas shared the gospel to them. Why the verse says, when they heard this, one of Scripture's clearest statements on God's sovereignty and salvation, God chooses, not us. They said, and as many as been appointed to eternal life believed. Can't make this up. Romans 8, 29, 30. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he has glorified. Well, what did we see in there? We saw foreknew. We saw predestined twice. When we had called, powerful, powerful verse from Paul. So what is, I mean, I'm just curious real quick. I mean, just people that aren't seeing this, like where is he coming up with this verbiage? Where are these words coming from? Why would he say he foreknew? For those who he foreknew, is it just some people he foreknew? That was old, that was 2000 years ago and not true today? Is that our belief system? I don't think so. Because the scripture goes on. Romans 8:33, he says, who will bring a charge to God's elect? ? God is the one who justifies. And Romans 9, as I told you, is filled with stories from the Old Testament that prove God's sovereignty and plan for the saved and non-saved, who he chooses, how the potter molds the pot, for his glory, not ours. And I want you to check that out. Let's move to Romans 11, 3, 7. Romans chapter 11, verse 3 through 7. They have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altar, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. God says back to Elijah, I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to the knee of Baal. Do you think this is just the God of the Old Testament Paul's talking to us about? This is an Old Testament verse. No. It's the same God who extends his gracious choices of who he will draw or use for his glory. Romans 11:33. Oh, I love this. This is how you just go, well, wait a minute. Try to understand what he's saying here. This is after he's gone through chapter 9 and 10. And again, if you read that, you're going to understand what I'm saying. He ends with, oh, in 11:33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or who has first given him that it might be paid back to him again? For him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory. Kind of hard to argue with God. Question God. But us as humans want control. We want to control our faith. We want to control others' faith. We want to control salvation, blessings. It's just our nature. And we just learn in scripture it's just not the case. And it's a futile position. 1 Corinthians 1:26-31. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen. So he's talking about the despised God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are so, that no man may boast. And I wanted to point out in 1 Corinthians 1:26, for considering your calling, brethren, there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish. God chooses. It's what he's saying. God's chosen these people to take on their faith in Christ. It's a powerful description of who he seeks, who he elects. Galatians 1:15, but when God who had set me apart, and this is Paul, and just listen to how Paul describes him, his conversion. But when God who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, okay, remember, Paul was a staunch Jew, Pharisee, from the tribe of Benjamin, right? Rule follower. He was blameless, as he says in scripture. He was blameless when it comes to the law. And he was going to fight any religion that was going to go against Judaism. And he was persecuting the Christians at that time that were following Christ, because it was a negative to the Judaism religion. And so he was hated. He hated it. And so we know he persecuted the Christians and even had some murdered. And he was just a bad guy, and he was a big rule follower. And then he met Christ and he converted. So we know all that, right? So here he is in Galatians, right? He says, but when God who had set me apart even from my mother's womb, what is he saying there? I was chosen before I even knew it. I'm going to use myself as an example. I became saved, I thought was in 1997. I've shared this before. It wasn't. I was saved in 2014. So again, I believe God knows, and this is the point of the scriptures, of who he's going to choose, because it says predestined from the beginning of creation, he knew. And Paul is emphasizing the same thing. He's going, look at my life. For I don't know how old he was when he converted, but this whole time as an adult, growing up, this is how I was, and I was converted by Christ. And what I realize is, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. Paul's telling us he was elected, but didn't know it until the road to Damascus. Was this just for Paul? I don't believe so. This is the process of God's chosen people. Let's look at Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 3-6. Blessed be be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Here we go. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. Listen to this. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Pretty powerful. It just continues. I'm just telling you, this doctrine continues in Scripture. Also, Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 11. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after counsel of his will. We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose. That's you and me. That's not just the apostles. That's not just the disciples. It goes on. 1 Thessalonians 1, 4, verse 4 through 5. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. Paul opens a letter to Timothy saying, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. His choice of you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 13 through 15, as we move forward. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Listen, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. There is that from the beginning thing again. As we have heard it in the Scriptures, predestined, foreknew, before the foundations of the world. This is another example from Paul telling his fellow brothers and sisters, us, listening to this podcast, that it is a choice by God from the beginning. It is not some man-driven success story or where a man has any place in salvation. Sharing the gospel and about Jesus, yes, but only those who God draws or chooses will come. Period. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Listen, I endure all things. This is huge. This is Paul. I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen. Other translations, you're going to see the word elect. I'm using the New American Standard version, but others will say elect there. I endure all things. This is Paul. I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen or who are elected. This is Paul's whole mission. He's using the same words. So that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Paul says this about his whole calling and life, his whole mission for the Gentiles. Enduring all things, and we know he endured so many things. He's endured the thorn, he talks about the ailment he dealt with, persecution, beatings he couldn't even count how many times, chains, and a brutal death in the name of Jesus. Why? For the sake of the elect, sake for the chosen. 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy chapter 2:19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having the seal, the Lord knows whose are his. The Lord knows who are his chosen. We don't just decide and we're like, oh, we're in the kingdom now. And God goes, oh, I'm so glad we celebrate in heaven, as you heard. Oh, yeah, these people raise their hand in church. They said a prayer and now they're all saved. And there's a big party in heaven that we talk about. It's not quite that easy. It's not the case. And this is a scripture and doctrine that is proving otherwise. Titus chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, listen, for the faith of those chosen by God. That's how he opens the letter in Titus. Hey, I'm Paul, bondservant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ. But who am I for? The faith of those chosen by God. Not by man, not by yourselves, by God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He says, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father. Who? That's how he opens. Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled by his blood. Again, Peter writing and using profound statements to the elect people and foreknowledge. There's no free will here. None of these scriptures suggest anywhere close that man has free will to choose to follow Christ and receive salvation. Also notice, like Paul, Peter talks about the sanctifying work to make us more holy, transform our sinful nature, also obeying Christ, his commands. Those who are truly chosen will turn from their ways. You'll know this. They will turn. They will repent and turn from their sinful ways. They will be transformed and live for Christ, share the gospel, and read and study their Bibles. Jesus makes clear that only a few will make it through the narrow gate or door, but many will find the wide gate to destruction. Well, that concludes the readings of the scriptures that I pulled tonight to share with you from the Word of God. As far as we're concerned, the case is closed on the truth of salvation for God's sovereign elect and doctrine. There's so much evidence written throughout scriptures from Jesus and the authors. The language is consistent among many of the core Bible translations that you cannot create any other suggestion towards free will or being man's choice. We know it sounds unfair, and I have to wrap my head around the same thing as I said, that I know I'm chosen, I know that I've been chosen, and I know that there's going to be people in my life or around me that may not be. And the argument is, how unfair is that, right? God gives freely his grace to sinners to save them. Because as you know by the gospel, none of us deserve grace. We all deserve punishment, judgment. The one sin of Adam, the very one sin of Adam, created very many sins of the rest of the world as we've moved on. You look at your own life. Think about your sins. God hated sin so much. Look at Adam and Eve. One sin created this. He wiped out the people in Noah's time. He wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah for sins. He brought the ultimate wrath to his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross for sin. And we believe that he brought judgment and wrath in 70 AD to Jerusalem and the Jews with the slaughter from the Romans, as Jesus predicted. Daniel prophesied. Jesus told that generation were going to face the wrath, the judgment, the covenant breakers, the religious law obeyers. And so we know judgment is for all of us, and only who God chooses to save will be saved. And the scriptures talk about the elect and the predestined and the chosen. Well, we hope this podcast was educational, challenges your doctrine views, and inspires you. As I said earlier, it is pride-crushing. John MacArthur calls it pride-crushing doctrine. But man, it is so humbling and puts you in a place of just massive gratitude if you are his chosen. Why me? Why did you choose me? What did I do to deserve it? We get to bring him glory in all we do on this earth while his promises are fulfilled in our lives. And tonight we pray these scriptures and content allows God to open your eyes to see and your ears that they can hear. please, if you are out walking or driving or listening to this, make sure you get on our social pages where our scriptures are. Walk through these, read through these, take notes. Please spend time reading them and make sure you get the whole context by reading verses before and after the ones we've kind of lifted tonight, so you can get a better idea of what he's who he's talking to and what his message is. But well, that's it. I appreciate it. I know this is controversial. I know some people are going to go, no way, don't believe it. But it is hard as I, you know, Carrie and I continue to go into the scriptures and we continue to read them. Predestination, election just continues to be, just pops off the pages as true doctrine and we believe it. And so hopefully you saw some of that and hopefully that made sense. So, well, we thank you for joining the conversation and we look forward to spending more time with you. And in the meantime, please take care of one another. Keep praying for God's will to be done with this virus. Like I said, this will bring him glory. Just know that. And we just continue praying for those who have been seriously impacted by this. But try to have a great week, and we will talk to you again soon on another episode. Have a great week.